our Spring Cleaning of the Heart and Mind 3.0 series by taking an honest look at codependency. Codependency often begins from a place of good intentions, but can quickly develop into lasting and destructive patterns of people-pleasing, living without boundaries, and bearing burdens far beyond our responsibility. Our own issues of fear, avoidance, and a need for approval lead us to codependent behaviors, but there is hope. We get to the truth of why codependency is not loving or the answer, and share tips to lead us away from unhealthy attachment and problem solving to loving others while maintaining boundaries, working towards our own growth, and relying on God to love and care for the people in our lives. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill. Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. I've got Crystal with me today.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about another exciting, painful topic.
Spring cleaning. We're cleaning up.
Oh, and we have to. Mm-hmm. We have to. This one might sneak up on you.
Yep.
Be forewarned. So this was one of the terms I'd heard thrown around before, but I totally didn't understand it. And at best, I misunderstood it. And it's usually only talked about in terms of relationships mm-hmm. with addicts and enabling them. Mm-hmm. And that's one very real way to look at it. But when I got into the behaviors and definitions, I realized not only how far the rabbit hole goes, but how desperately I needed this.
Right.
So codependency is not just for those of you with an addict in your life. This can mm-hmm. be for a regular lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay. This one was tough for me.
Yeah.
Here's some definitions. This one is straight from the dictionary. I don't go to the dictionary very often anymore. It's letting me down, but this one is good. Yeah.
It's letting you down?
Sometimes.
After all these years. This is sad. Like, this is a sad day.
It is.
Okay.
But this I support this one. Someone who is psychologically dependent on someone in an unhealthy way.
Right.
I want to first, let me just say, we should not be psychologically dependent on anybody except Jesus.
Right.
And you're kind of in for a world of pain if you are.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, psychologically dependent on someone.
Okay.
Okay, where I'm realizing, oh, nuts, this might be me. PsychCentral.com says, codependency is a way of behaving in relationships mm-hmm. Where you persistently prioritize someone else over mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And you assess your mood based on how they behave.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
Good definition.
Sharon Martin Counseling said, your focus is on other people and their problems. Doing for others, even when it negatively impacts your mental and physical health. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And last, MadisonMorgan.com said, codependency, to put it simply, is this. Oh, this is the one that hurts for me. If you're good, I'm good. Mm. If you're not good, I'm not good.
Okay.
I've been feeling that as a mom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's where this one's going to come up, mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of moms, where
right.
if my kid's not happy, then it's very hard for me to be right. happy. You know, and I've got teenagers, so I'm going to have to figure this one out.
Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super.
You've got to figure
my house is a joy factory. All right. Here's some traits.
Okay.
And again, this is another place where I realized, oh, this is... Mm-hmm. There's a reason God gave you this term to talk about.
These ones are it's always so hurtful. I'm like, oh, no, not I know, a problem.
It's just a list.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what?
Now, I'm thinking Psych Central for a lot of these. Again, like last week, this is a tough one.
Right.
This is going to be a brutal eye-opening list. Here we go. A deep-seated need for approval.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yay.
Okay. Your self-worth is dependent on what others think.
Mm. That's great. Very healthy.
Mm-hmm. A habit of taking on more work. Crystal's like, crap.
Even if it's just a night.
I know. A habit of taking on more work than you can realistically handle, both to earn praise or to lighten a loved one's burden.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Tendency to apologize or take the blame to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm not saying like, this is when you can apologize for other people. Like, and I'm not saying
apologizing for your toddler making a mistake is one thing. Right. But when your 18-year-old or your 24-year-old or your spouse did something, that's not on you to apologize for them.
Right.
Gives unsolicited advice and often. Mm-hmm. People don't like that.
What? I thought they did.
Yeah. You feel responsible to fix other people's problems. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're commonly taken for granted. Mm. You have trouble communicating your own feelings, wants, or needs. Your moods depend on someone else being happy. If they aren't, you aren't. Your reactions depend on what others think, feel, and need. Mm. So not only is your mood not stable, but you don't know how to react unless you engage other people in the room.
Right.
That's rough. Your thought life revolves around someone else's problems. Mm. This can be attention to your partner, your child, your family member, where it prevents you from having time for your own interests and pursuits because you're only thinking about them. Mm-hmm. You feel guilty for things that have nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. Lisa Romano gave the next few. You feel abandoned over the slightest situation. Mm-hmm. You are overly responsible for the irresponsible. Mm-hmm. You care more about what others think of you than what God thinks of you. Mm. People pleasing is a way of life. Aren't they? This
it's
is just
not normal.
No. Well,
I'm just kidding.
Well, that's the thing, though. It has become normal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're clingy or you push people away. Mm. One or the other. Stay in toxic relationships long after you should. Mm-hmm. Codependent people give so many chances. Mm-hmm. You don't accept red flags. Mm-hmm. Mm. And consistent self-betrayal. Mm. All right. You want to know how we got here?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I need to bring this one up first because it's real. And it's a lot harder to overcome. But we have to start addressing the truth that early childhood experiences have profound impacts on people.
Right.
I mean, I know you've been working through this yourself, and David and I have been thinking about it a lot. So number one, how'd we get here today is childhood.
Yeah.
Like, we just we can't pretend like it's not a part of it. Right. So this is from Talkspace. If a parent or caretaker fails to provide their child with support and guidance during the critical formative years, it can lead children to believe that their needs aren't important. Mm-hmm. Later in life, adults who were once neglected might continue to ignore the things they need and avoid asking for help from others, causing a codependent relationship. Mm. So that's just
super healthy. It's fantastic.
It's hard. I mean, but it's good to recognize sometimes to give yourself that little bit extra grace. Like, okay, this happened to me and this is why I'm working through things this way.
I just think the hard part is we don't address that. We don't think about it. I mean, it's probably repressed.
Or
it's taken a lot of therapy to get to any point of like, oh,
that's why.
But it's real. I mean, our parents, all of our parents, or whoever raised us, if they, you know, they did what they could for us.
Yes,
they weren't raised well either.
Nope.
So this is a cycle that has been going on and on.
Yes,
and we don't talk about it.
No, we do not. Mm. Yeah. And it takes a long, we have to talk too, that it takes a really long time to unlearn the untruths we adopted in childhood.
Right.
But we do need to accept your needs do matter now, regardless of whether that was communicated to you as a kid.
Because they do.
They totally do. Even if you were the kid that had to be the parent to your parent.
Right. And,
you know,
plenty are.
So many are. But that doesn't mean that you have to continue on in that role.
Right.
You matter. How'd we get here? Number two, fear. Every week.
It's there, though.
It is
truly there.
It runs everything. A lot of codependent behavior is rooted in the fear of abandonment. Mm-hmm. So to compensate for our fear of being left, we adopt the harmful belief, if I fix you or do everything for you or accept your every choice or make my whole life about you, then you won't leave me.
I remember once having a thought that, like, if I wasn't the person who loved somebody, nobody would.
Mm.
Not healthy.
No.
Did not work out in my
benefit. It's not a good enough reason. No.
No. Yeah. It's a terrible reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not. I mean, so many people do this.
All day. Every day.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, and it's just, I love now that I'm getting to put together these pieces, like, oh, I'm doing that because I'm afraid of being abandoned.
Right.
Because, like, this other thing messed me up. So,
right.
We have to recognize codependent people need to be needed because otherwise they fear they will be abandoned. So if I stop being useful to you,
yep,
or if you stop relying on me, you'll leave me.
Yep.
If that person needs you, do you want, like, let him go? Let him go. Mm. That deep-seated need to be needed brings up point number two. I think we are seeking validation.
Yeah.
Psych Central said, the more you focus on providing the support you believe others need, the more heavily they begin to lean on you.
Mm.
And I put, this goes way beyond those cheap trick lyrics where we want you to want me and need you to need me. Like, everybody feels that song and vibe with it. But we want to be useful.
Yeah.
Like, and I want to be important
we want
to the
that
people
value.
I love. Yeah. But this is about false purpose.
Yeah.
Like, this goes beyond. I mean, yes, naturally, David and my children need me.
Yes.
In a normal way. And your sisters and your parents, like, rely on right. you. But, like, this is taking it beyond normalcy.
Right.
I said, this is about making yourself someone else's son.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And that's unfair to them, too.
Right. Like,
it really is. How did we get here? Number three, we don't have any boundaries.
Yay.
Yay. yeah. I did some long-term planning for the podcast this week, and we are there's a boundary series coming. So I feel like we need some more work on this, but not today. Now, I don't think everyone with good without boundary setting skills is codependent.
No.
But I know that everyone who is codependent has poor boundary setting skills.
Okay.
So not setting boundaries definitely opens the door for codependent behaviors to emerge.
Right.
So you just need to be aware because codependent people are really easy to take advantage of.
Right. Because you just do it.
Yeah. And they know you're going to do it. They know you're not going to say no.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that ends all facets of relationships.
Oh, yes. That's the friend. Mm-hmm. That's the cute boy that gets the nerdy girl to do his homework.
The coworker.
Oh, yeah. This is, I'm going to dump this on you, give this to you. They, you know, Crystal will do it.
Extended family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crappy boyfriend. All of them.
All of them.
They know you're going to stay and go along with it, regardless of how they treat you. They learned that long ago.
Yeah.
They learned what your line is. And they've learned you'll always say yes, that you'll never assert yourself.
Yeah.
And then this hurts you because not only are you now a doormat, you're used to being one.
Right.
And you have adopted the belief that this is normal and how it should be, and that anything else would be, quote unquote, being mean. Well, I can't be mean.
Man, we're so messed up.
Setting boundaries is not being mean.
It's not.
It's not.
It's necessary.
It's so necessary. Victoria Albina said, the core wound of codependent thinking is believing we have to be everything to everyone other than ourselves. This is the lifelong belief that I am not important or as important as other people.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. They matter more. Their needs, not mine. Their needs. It's real rough.
It's hard to accept.
It is.
It's really hard to accept.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, something that I struggle with of, you know, going through therapy is that these are set and events in my life have proven them true over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Intellectually, I know that they're not true.
Right.
But emotionally, they're a hard barrier.
It's like an emotional mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I mean, this has been proven to me a million times that this is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough.
We make a lot of self-fulfilling prophecies. We do. And we see what we want to see. And
we're really good at hurting ourselves.
Oh, yes, we are. Thank you, codependency. How did we get here? This just, it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
We think we're helping.
Yeah.
Because we have a savior complex. This is one of those things. Yay! Who wants to say that? Like, mm-hmm. Now, if you want to make that more palatable.
I do.
You can also say, I can fix you or I can change you.
I actually don't like those words better.
I know, right? It
doesn't make it. I like to think my personality is the defender. So I'm going to help you. That's how I want to think of it. I can help you. I can help you do this. That makes me feel better.
Feel better about it.
It doesn't make the situation any better.
No, but I know so many people take this on. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in just in relationships, watching women take on broken men, thinking they can fix them or change them.
I just like, do we even go in thinking of that? I think it's just like, I can help. I don't know.
Or I think we're just so afraid of being left too. And we see intellectually they're mistreating us or all these red flags, but they have these moments of goodness. So I can keep it back to good. Yeah. I can make it back.
We don't think, like when we say it, we don't think of it in the process that like, it's easy for us to say, but man, this is hurtful, Becky.
I know. That's right, the point, though. Let's get rid of it.
For real. If we don't address it, we don't think about it, we don't open the door, then we can't clean it out. Uh-huh. Which is why third season of spring cleaning is not comfortable.
No, because we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And even stuff like this, where this is a sneaky topic, we're like, oh, I don't really, this isn't for me.
I don't have a problem with that.
And now when you're getting into it, and you're like, oh, crud, you're this like, is me. Oh,
okay. Unfortunately.
How did we get here? I've got two more.
Okay.
One, it's a coping mechanism.
Yes.
And it's a coping mechanism that we adopt to deal with the negative effects of our codependency.
Fantastic. Let's just make this cyclical.
Yeah. When you're codependent, you aren't okay unless everybody else is okay.
Okay.
So you're anxious and unhappy all the time.
Fantastic.
Right? Because nobody's happy all the time. So you're never happy. Uh-huh. So to deal with that anxiety, you try to control everyone else's situation so they'll be happy, so you'll be happy. By the way, that doesn't work.
It's a really poor way of us trying to make it work out.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to put my hands in everybody else's business because then they'll be happy for a minute and then I can be happy for
a minute.
Fix
it for you. Then I'll fix it for you and I'll fix it for you.
Mm-hmm. By doing then the job happy. For you. Yes. Sit with Sharon said, seeking control is how I learn to protect myself from anxiety. When I am anxious, anything I seek to control is controlling me instead. Mm. True that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a really fun one to sit and wrestle with this week.
Yeah, control. I've been working on that.
And the last, how did we get here? It's because if I'm working on you, I don't have to deal with me.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a whole podcast on avoidance coming up in a few weeks. But that's a real big one and a really true one. If I've made my entire life about fixing and helping and working on other people, well, then I can very artfully avoid having to help fix or work on myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the added benefits of martyrdom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
This is great.
Let's hit us with some truth. Truth punches today. Number one, truths you definitely desperately need to hear. Number one, it's kind of, actually not kind of, all the way the opposite of helping.
Yeah.
It's not helpful. Taking full responsibility for someone else isn't helping them. It's actually very harmful and detrimental to their growth. Poma Chronicles said this, if you interfere with the failures of others, you deny them their learning curve. In fact, you prevent them from acquiring the wisdom gained from painful experience. You are complicit in their repeated failures.
Well, it's kind of like the text that Jolene had sent out of like, we want to stop the pain, but unfortunately, we have to go through the situations and grow. And that's how we become better.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. You can't rescue.
Yeah.
There's so much that comes from letting someone struggle or make the wrong decision.
Right.
You know, even as a parent, where you sit back and you're like, I know this is not the best choice for them, but I'm going to let, you know,
right,
in this controlled way, but you're right, going to let them see, oh, well, yeah, now I know.
Because if you don't, then they're going to do it again later.
So when the stakes are higher. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I put, as parents, well, literally, we can't rescue our kids every time. We shouldn't. I put, for myself, low stakes. We had this big pile of bark dust in our driveway when I was like 4 years old. And I wanted to play in that bark dust. I remember my parents saying, Becky, no, you're going to get splinters. Don't play in the bark dust. Okay, I went and played in the bark dust.
And?
You know, and they let me.
Right.
They totally let me do it. Because, yes, I came back covered in splinters, but I learned, oh, when mom and dad tell me no,
right,
they have a reason. So, yeah, low stakes, let your kids fail.
Right.
Let them make mistakes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much would we not have learned or grown if we hadn't failed?
Right.
Someone had rescued me every time. No. Number two, it's not love.
Fair.
You're like, but I'm helping.
No.
I'm a servant. I'm bearing your burden. No, I have the church lady voice.
It's not love.
It's not love. Those things are not done from you're not doing it from a place of love when you're codependent. You're doing it from fear. Yeah, it's fear and control, and that's not ever anything driven by those can't be love.
No.
No.
It's not.
Sometimes it's driven by pride and judgment, and those things also are not compatible with love. I love what Pomo Chronicles had to say. Codependency is all mouth and no ears. And she talked about how codependency finishes sentences, tells someone else's story for them so it gets told right, and can even take someone's testimony out of their mouth.
Oh, man.
I know. But when we're so wrapped up in controlling and shining this person up, I can see where we would step in. Like, oh, let me tell it so I can do it right.
Huh.
When we're trying to run the show for somebody else, we're also not listening to what they want, let alone what they might need. Kind of rough. Here's a truth. Nobody needs to be happy all the time.
Very true.
Very true.
We want to be.
We want.
But it's not the reality.
No.
What kind of people would we be if we were happy all the time? Like if we were truly had everything we wanted, we would be so surface people. We actually wouldn't be able to help anybody.
Mm-mm,
we wouldn't be able to make a difference.
Mm-mm.
Like no difference in the world.
Wow. Yeah. One of the hallmarks of the codependent is that I want you to be happy.
Yeah.
And if you're not happy, I will go to extreme lengths to make you happy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I put the easiest for me to think about is in terms of parenting. You know, and you're totally right. I mean, this is exactly what you're saying, where I was thinking, you know, there are some codependent parents that will do whatever it takes to keep their kid happy.
Yeah.
And I thought, not only do those kids end up falling down garbage chutes and chocolate factories, but, you know, like that's, they turn into Veruca.
Right,
you're exactly right. That's what we turn into. And then
I want this now.
Yes, they want their eggs. But then like when reality hits and when we're not there, like that's a real big fall.
Can you, I mean, like if we did it, if for our kids, if you didn't help protect them, you didn't help them grow, they're going to become an adult.
Yeah, at some point.
And then how are they going to function?
Like, exactly.
Really, literally, how can they function? They're not going to be able to hold down a job because the moment anybody gives any form of feedback and it's a part of working, there's feedback. When you're not,
yeah. Well, there's big parts of being a grown-up that aren't ever fun, like cleaning and bills and Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is exactly, I love when you're, you know, vibing with me. There's, there's stuff we can only learn from places of pain.
Yeah.
Like that can only be learned.
Right.
Resilience, courage, perseverance, empathy, how to navigate grief, how to be sad.
Yeah.
You know? And when things are going great, we don't recognize our need for God as often.
Ah, true.
You know, that's real easy to blow him off when we're happy.
When we're happy, we got everything we want. We don't need anybody.
Yeah. So we need to teach our kids and our loved ones how to be unhappy.
Yeah.
It's a skill. Like, we really do.
And it's okay to be unhappy because It's the reality of.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another related truth that may be hard to swallow.
Because they haven't all been so far.
No, they've been all picnic. You can't actually make anyone else happy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. We've talked before when how we can't place our sense of okayness or peace mm-hmm. in someone else's hands. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, then no one can place theirs in yours.
Right. And it's actually not ours to bear.
It's no.
I mean, because we don't think about it like this, but when you're putting it out like that of saying, it's my job to make sure that you're happy. Mm-mm-mm. We can't deliver. Mm-mm. We are not able to deliver even a portion of that. It is not our, and besides, that's not our burden to bear. We can't make people happy.
You absolutely can.
And we also, not. In ourselves, we have to find that. So by working around it, we're stealing it from them too.
Yeah.
And then they're not going to be able to.
They have to be responsible for it and figure that out on their own. Mm-hmm. And I also added in like some of the things, the quick fixes we do for people to make them happy aren't actually the best things for them.
Probably terrible. Like,
well, oh, you're sad.
Let's have some chocolate ice cream.
My mom always used to buy me cake.
Oh, I almost said cake.
You know, and I still, I mean, now granted, she only bought me the single pieces, but still,
you know,
that can be a dangerous path. Uh-huh.
I know that very well. I'm sad.
I have cake. Uh-huh. But we want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when my kids are sad, it's like, oh, I want to make you cookies. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can't actually fix or change other people.
No.
You can't.
Because can anybody do it for us? Mm-mm. We probably had people try.
Oh, yeah. But I've learned this lesson, though, like you can't want it bad for anybody mm-mm. else. I can't want it enough mm-mm. for you, for anything.
Right.
Like you can't, even with your kids, you can't make them want to study enough for them to actually, they have to want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried. I have tried repeatedly with friends and people, and it does not work.
Right.
And I know codependents love to give advice, but most adults know what they need to do.
Right.
But they have to get there on their own.
Right.
Like, I know what's wrong with me, and you telling me about it isn't going to make me do it. I have to want to do it.
Kind of like it has to be more uncomfortable to actually make the change.
Yeah. That's how change happens. It's not me telling
you. It's not because it sounds like a great idea.
Your life would be better if blah, blah, blah.
But there's truth to that, but it's not helpful.
No.
You actually push people away.
Oh, what? People don't like that?
Yeah.
You point out what's wrong with them?
But don't address anything that's wrong with you.
No. Nothing is.
No, I'm keeping everybody together and everybody happy.
Oh, boy. Now, that's here. Now, you are not responsible for or in control of someone else's emotions.
Right.
But you can manage your own.
Oh, well, now there's an idea.
I know, right? Yeah. I read so many blogs of people who struggle with codependency. And so related to their statements along the lines of, if everyone else wasn't happy, I wasn't happy. And that's, again, very problematic. It doesn't work. Uh-huh. It's hard as a parent. You can't rely on anybody else's moods or emotions to stabilize your own.
But emotions are a roller coaster anyway. Like, it can be a fine day and you're still having your moments.
Mm-hmm. And no one, I mean, in any place, for me as a parent, mm-hmm. for you in a workplace, mm-hmm. in any given day, all of the people you interact with, someone's going to be in a mood.
Right.
Somebody.
Right.
Oh, you have to figure it out.
Right.
How to be okay. And I wish I could unhear what I heard a long time ago where I heard you're only as happy as your unhappiest child.
Oh, man.
And I wish I could unhear it because I've lived like that.
That's horrible.
Yeah. But that's been my life. Yeah. You're only as happy as your unhappiest child.
Think of how unhappy children are.
And teenagers.
But like looking at a toddler, like,
oh, yeah.
They're learning their independence. Uh-huh. And with hearing the word no, they're unhappy.
All the time.
And you should never be unhappy like that.
No. And how does that help you as a parent? So as
those
parents
are horrible it words.
But, you know, we can and should shepherd our kids through pain.
Yes.
And be there to support.
Yes.
And, you know, But then this is also goes along with what Jolene sent us this week. And you can't pull somebody out of a hole if you climb down in the hole with them.
Right.
You know, you have to figure out a way how to support and love.
Right.
But stay okay yourself. Like, you can be upset and you can be having your mood. I'm going to stay over here.
Right.
You don't actually have to pick up somebody else's bad mood, drama, or problems as your own.
That statement's just killing me, Becky. Uh-huh. That somebody had said that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was written.
To me as a new parent.
Oh. Don't do that.
It's ugly.
See, we don't need advice from other
people. No, that's teaching parents to be codependent.
Yeah.
No, you have to figure out a way to lovingly care for somebody in a healthy way without taking on their pain.
Right.
It's not your pain to bear. It's theirs.
We have our own pain.
Yes. And you can lovingly support and help them through it, but they're going to need to work it out.
Right.
You know? Okay. I'm throwing this one in because it's hits home and is very painful. And we haven't had enough pain today.
Good that we have some comfort food coming up.
Yes. Spaghetti night at church. Okay. You might have an emotional addiction.
Okay.
I didn't like this. It hurt my feelings. Uh-huh. Being addicted to emotions is when you need the drama. Uh-huh. Or for me, David has thrown this one at me before. You need something to worry about. Uh-huh. You need something to fix. Yeah. Because, I don't like this, when those things go away, well, now what are you supposed to do? What's your role?
What value do you
have? What's your purpose? Yeah. What am I supposed to overthink about? Because worry and overthinking means control. So if I'm not worried.
But it feels like it.
Yeah.
We try to say it is.
It's for people who have anxiety when there's nothing. You feel lost.
You don't know how to feel.
I don't. Well, yeah. What am I forgetting? I'm forgetting to worry about something. I don't know what to do. It's awful. Which leads to this little nugget of pain from Poma Chronicles. So true, though. We got to laugh. To be codependent is to be anxious all the time. Straight up, because it's way too much. It's too much to manage. I can't fix myself.
Right.
How am I supposed to fix me plus all these other people?
Right.
I can't. I try all the time. I can't.
Right.
And lastly, codependency can't give you what you're actually after. Because if you're depending on other people to be okay for you to be okay, you're never going to be okay.
Right.
Ever.
I don't know if you learned this through your study, but so if we're trying to fix everybody else, are we open to anybody helping fix us?
Right. No, I think that goes back to the avoidance.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's my job. I'm the saintly. I don't know.
I assume that they're.
It's a real clever tactic. You used
the
word
pushing people away. So that's probably one of the others of like, oh, no, I've got this.
Yeah.
I've got it.
I'm the fixer. I know the answers.
I know how to get there. I'm gonna get them there. I'm gonna show them the way. I'll guide them. It'll be great.
Oh, we're so delusional. We are so delusional. Let's get some tips.
Okay,
let's stop this garbage.
Let's clean it out.
Number one, practice identifying and expressing your own feelings.
Okay,
let's worry about you. If we like control so much, let's control what we can ourselves. Okay.
Well, that's not the fun control.
No, it isn't.
No control is actually fun.
Spend some time alone doing things you love.
Okay.
Like, what do you like to do? Like, reconnect with yourself.
Right.
What do you actually like to do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because your life hasn't been about you if you're codependent. Right. It's time. Oh. Don't ask for opinions and permission for small, everyday stuff.
Absolutely don't.
That's good advice for people who aren't codependent too. Like,
you don't need somebody giving you advice to figure out the small things.
What should I have for lunch today? No, that's on you.
Right. What am I going to wear?
Yeah.
How am I, which direction am I going to drive this route today?
Yeah. You don't need input on the small everyday decisions.
No.
You do not. No. And someone pointed out, when you ask, you already know what you want the other person to say. You're really just after approval.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I've asked that before, like, which sweater should I wear? And then David picks the one I don't want.
Like, right.
oh.
Well, what do you want for dinner tonight? Oh, well, I really was going to make this. Well, then why'd you ask?
Exactly. And then they get back. So it wasn't a real question. So you're setting me up to fail.
Right. He didn't give me an A, B, or C option.
Sneaky. Say no when it's something you don't want to do.
Good advice.
Or if doing it would be outside of your capacity right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really bad at saying no.
We are really bad at that.
Really bad. I don't like this one. Stop trying to fix things before they even happen.
Oh.
Oh. Uh-huh. That hurts. That's hurtful. Because I do it all the time. David's like, the bad thing hasn't even gone wrong. Like, this 3 days away. You don't even know. Well.
But, no, I know.
Yes. And here are the 83 ways I can fix.
I'm preparing right now.
Yes.
I'm going to fix it.
We treat every little thing like it's doomsday. And we got to have our go bags for every situation.
Uh-huh.
Mind Body Green had the next three. Practice clear and direct communication.
Okay.
Learn to be courageously direct in the ways you communicate with others. This was a good one. Leaving as little room for interpretation as possible.
Okay.
If somebody says, are you free tonight? And you're not, say, no, I'm not free tonight, rather than, well, I'm feeling a little tired.
Uh-huh.
I said clear communication begins with communicating clearly with yourself. Mm-hmm. Allow people to see more than just the pleasing, peacekeeping, diplomatic version of you.
Okay.
So these are just ways to keep practicing.
And something as you start to do this, if you're in, let's just go with specifically very unhealthy relationships, mm-hmm. it's going to cause turmoil. And, yep. And some of these relationships may be unhealthy and they're family members that you just, mm-hmm. they're your family, but you got to push through.
Uh-huh. You do.
This isn't going to be easy, no. but being a doormat's not easy either. Mm-hmm. It's not getting us anywhere.
You got to pick your hard.
Yeah.
The hard of putting up with this forever or the hard mm-hmm. of establishing this boundary and living right. in a healthy way. Okay. This one's bad. Let go of your stories. Recognize worst case scenario stories as they surface in your mind. Stories keep you in a painful loop of trying to control others.
Mm-hmm.
When your time and energy could be better spent on connecting with your own feelings, needs, values.
Right. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tell myself a lot of worst case scenario stories.
All day.
Never happen, but I tell them.
I know in any room, all the exits, who I need to protect and where, how I'm going to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
Every room I'm in.
Yeah.
Not ideal to spend my time doing this.
No, it's not. It's
but I not. Have I have this planned.
Mm-hmm. This next one is awful too. Release your attachment to outcome. Yeah.
We're controlling here.
Yeah.
And we're going to release this?
Mm-hmm. You got it. Yeah, this one sucks because you have to live with uncertainty and to be okay with not knowing what's going to happen.
Fair.
Which, you didn't know anyway.
We don't know anyway. We just plan a million ways of stupid things.
Become okay with the idea that you might disappoint someone mm-hmm. and that not everyone will like you.
Mm-hmm. It hurts, but it's true.
It is true. You don't like everyone either.
That's very true.
Yeah. Blog.zencare had the last one. Let yourself change rather than trying to change others. You're the only person you have control over.
Right.
Can't even control your baby.
No.
No. All right. Let's get to the real. Okay. Let's punch you a bunch of times. So when I see similarities between episodes and see stuff that keeps popping up, mm-hmm. I realize God's trying to get my attention.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me at all. There's some overlap today with our episode on jealousy last week. God's like, you listening now? You hear me yet? So when we're codependent, we're abandoning two very important truths. That number one, we matter.
Right.
And two, that only God can give us what we're actually after.
Very true.
I don't know why we keep chasing other junk.
Yeah. It's stupid, but we do. And it's
forever.
We have the answer.
Uh-huh. Last week, I talked about how jealousy can make us forget who we were created to be while we're busy chasing someone else's path.
Right.
So today, I'm here to tell you that codependency also has a way of leading you away from you.
Mm-hmm.
When your life is so wrapped up in being everything to everyone and trying to fix the whole world,
mm-hmm.
you step away from your own life, mm-hmm. your calling, your growth. We're so afraid to take our hands off everyone else's life mm-hmm. and stop trying to help or fix or change everyone else's attitudes and problems and hurts,
right.
that we completely ignore our own and let our own junk build up and right. fester. And secondly, validation and worth can only be found in who God says you are.
Right.
It is not in taking care of everyone, mm-hmm. managing everyone, keeping everyone else happy. That's mm-hmm. not the path towards validation. Mm-mm. That's the path towards burnout and resentment.
Right.
And I saved the biggest truth for the end today, and we need to hear it. It is not your job. Mm-mm. Codependency not only causes you to take on responsibilities and choices that are the other person's job, mm-hmm. it often means you're trying to do God's job. Mm. Yeah, that might sound extreme, but we're trying to fix, change, care for, protect, and save someone. Mm-hmm. Those are all things we're not capable of. Mm-mm. But the sad, scary thing is we genuinely believe it's our job.
Right.
And that we won't be okay and the other person won't be okay unless we're doing God's job for him. Mm. Like you said, if you don't love him, who will? Yeah. Right? I know. Right? You probably want to go yell at 30-year-old Christian too.
I do.
We need to take our hands off and release the people we're sacrificing our own needs and growth for into the hands of the only person who can actually do the job we're trying to do.
Right.
We're not God.
Right.
Can't do his job. Mm-mm. We are not the source of peace or wholeness for anybody. Mm-mm. Not even your kids.
No.
We aren't the source of joy or contentment for anyone.
No.
But he is. Yes. We need to take our hands off and clasp them in prayer instead. We need to love without micromanagement, help without giving up boundaries, care without climbing in the hole. Codependency isn't the answer. It's only ever God.
I wish that we didn't just forget about that all the time. I mean, I guess the more we talk about it and we move forward, it just brings it to the forefront.
Not my job. His job. Not,
it is. But I think this one is deep-seated. But
it's going to take some time to undo. We can do it.
And you can too.
Oh, we're going to be back cleaning out some more filth you might not know you had. You know, Sometimes you find treasures in your basement and sometimes you find
Becky is great
terrible habits.
At spring cleaning, finding things that,
yeah, so much fun. But we're going to get rid of them.
Yeah, we are.
Slowly, painfully, but we're getting rid of them. We'll be back with you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcast. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.